Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight. And we're trusting that you will we're trusting that you are looking forward to it as well. So stand by as we have some technical difficulty. But we're certainly looking forward to tonight's broadcast. All right, you can pick up the show in its entirety on drjessewalker.com. You can call in live at drjessewalker.com, but 347-857-1769. All right, looks like things are going to start coming together. Once in a while, for whatever reason, I guess the internet seems to be overcrowded sometimes, and it gets a little busy, so it gets a little crazy even in the studio. And this is an updated version of our studio, but it still nevertheless gets crazy. So we're going to try and continue to bring you quality broadcasting. All right, sometimes our show gets started off kind of slow, but as time progresses, we tend to really get in the air, and it gets to be very, very good. So stay with us. It may be a slow start if you're listening to us in any of the archives. It starts out rather slow, but trust me, it gets going. And it's usually a good thing when it gets going. So don't be discouraged and stay with us. What we're going to do, the producers are telling me that what we need to do is to tap back into the studio because we are probably running across some problems with the broadcast. So if you're standing by, we're going to check back in. Just give us about 45 seconds, and everything should come to normal. All right, here we go. We're up now, and it's we've got everything facing now. All right, studio. We're back in the studio, and we're back on the air live. Thank you also very much for joining us. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. Tonight's topic is marriage really just about the wedding? Is marriage really just about the wedding? And we're looking for some exciting people to tune in tonight and to contribute to tonight's discussion. Just before we get to tonight's broadcast, I want to just go ahead and reiterate some previous shows that we've done. Last week, we talked about signs that tell whether he or she is the right one. Signs that tell whether the person that you're with is the right one. So that becomes interesting in and of itself. And if you have a comment, shoot us that comment, and we'll be glad to entertain that and tell you what we think on that. Now, some of the signs that I thought were interesting to see if this is the right one or not, happen to be if that person is not really showing signs that they're really into you, then that's not the one for you. If they're not there to have your back when you need them most, then that's a telltale sign that that's not the person for you. And unfortunately, so many people end up wasting so much time. They end up wasting so much time trying to figure out whether a person is the right one for them or not. And so that's why I would say just make sure that you stand by. Let me go to the phone lines and let me bring in someone and see what their comments are on last week's show. We're going to go to 917-399. Welcome to the show this evening. You're listening live. Who do we have with us this evening? Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
It's Angela.
Okay, Angela, thank you for joining us. Last week's show, we had a very good show last week, Telltale Signs, to see if this is the right one. And I can appreciate you. Angela is a regular caller, and we do appreciate your contribution to this show. Tell me, because, you know, you're one of the people, that, and we have a number of them, that actually keep it real on the show. You actually give your honest opinion, and sometimes it's for some listeners, it may not be a popular opinion. Even my opinions sometimes are not popular. But, you know, it's just an opinion, and that's what it is. All of us have those. So give me your opinion on maybe a couple of things that might show that someone is either the right one for you or not the right one for you. Give me a couple of thoughts.
Dr. Walker, I think that, wow, that's a big one. That's a toughie because I've been with my husband for 22 years, and we're off and on. Sometimes I want a divorce, sometimes I don't. But one thing I will say is that he loves me and I love him. And we've been up and down, but we've been working hard towards our relationship and making it work. So I guess that's what keeps us together. I really can't tell people what to do in a relationship. All I can say is keep trying if that's what you both want. You have to really work on yourself and only yourself because we can't change people. I've tried to do that many of times, and it doesn't work. So what I did was work on myself. And when I saw things wasn't working right, I made it better. I made the situation better for me. And a lot of times I had to let things go because it was destroying our relationship.
Okay, what were some of those things that you let go, in fact?
Being too judgmental. I guess in the beginning, I had high expectations of what a marriage should be, what a wife should be, what a mom should be. And I was trying my best not to make mistakes, but I had to make mistakes in order to learn different things. And we're all not perfect, and you're going to make plenty of mistakes. And then you grow. A lot of people have to really sit back and analyze yourself instead of analyzing the person that they're with. I'm not saying if you're in an abusive relationship, you shouldn't analyze them. But if you have a relationship where it's not physical, then you need to sit back and really, really think about the things that you're doing also. You cannot just put it on one person because I think after the year go by, you grow. You learn different things and you grow. And a lot of times I felt like I was growing apart from my spouse, but then there was things that brought us right back together. And he waited for me to grow, so I feel like I had to give him a chance and let him grow too and not get so frustrated because he wasn't on the same level that I was on. Some people don't learn at the same pace you will learn on. And it takes some time. But for my husband, there was a lot of things that he just didn't know. And it frustrated me to the point where I was like, you know what, I'm not doing this no more. I want a divorce. I don't care what you say. I love you enough to leave you. But somehow we're still here working things out, and we're still married.
Now, you said something at the top of your opening remarks, and that was that you all still love each other. And how important is that? I mean, we haven't gotten into tonight's show. We haven't even given the story for tonight. And we're going to bring in Ms. Blake. She'll be coming in momentarily. But we're talking about last week's show. We're kind of recapping that before we go into tonight's broadcast. And the question was, you know, how do you signs to tell if this is the right person or not? But tonight's show is marriage really just about the wedding? And this is only part one. Is marriage really just about the wedding? So we've got Angela who's given her point of view. And you said at the top of the hour, you know, that you all are still in love. Why is that? Why does that seem to overshadow and bring you all right back together when it seems like you all are headed for, sometimes you're, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you've said sometimes you want a divorce and sometimes you don't. So how does love play a role in that?
Well, Dr. Walker, I like being with my husband. I like being friends with him. He makes me laugh. And, of course, there are times when we don't get along. But I don't allow the fact that we don't get along interrupt with me being in love with him and how I feel about him. When he touches me, it does something to my body, and it makes me feel good. Even when I'm mad at him and he can come and give me the biggest hug, and I feel his emotion inside of me. And that's what I mean by I still love him, he still loves me. Now, I've been in a relationship where I hated my ex's guts. And when he touched me, it was a turnoff. I couldn't have sex with him or anything. And that's not what I feel with my husband. So we've been up and down for many years. But at the end of the day, we go to bed together. We say we love you to each other. We kiss each other. Even when we're mad, we'll say, okay, we know we had a disagreement, but I want to say I love you or I want to give you a kiss tonight. And that's how we go to sleep. So that's what I meant by that.
Okay. All right. All right. You're listening live to Dr. Jesse Walker, 347, if you want to call in live to the show, 347-857-1769. Once again, 347-857-1769. We're going to get to tonight's topic in just about 30 seconds or so. We're waiting for the producers to give us word to go with that. All right, if you just want to reiterate, just take a moment to tell us what are some telltale signs to make sure that that person is the right one or the wrong one. Feel free to tune in, chime in with one, and then we're going to get to tonight's story. One of the things for sure I want to say is don't waste time in your relationship. For me, if there's something going on in 3 years, and you're still having to reiterate that, like you're dating somebody for the first 3 years and you're not married to them, and you're having the same problem, then, you know, that marriage is not going to change that. And Angela was clear when she said tonight that if, you know, pretty much what you see is what you get, that you can't change anyone. And what was so interesting about what she said was, she worked on herself, and I think that becomes very important. And I want to find out now if we have another call. Looks like we have another one. We're going to ask you the same thing just before we go right into tonight's story. What are some telltale signs? Let's go to, looks like 954-226. Welcome. Who do we have?
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, what are some telltale signs that you would give our audience tonight before we go into, is marriage really just about the wedding?
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
I want to say, and this is my opinion, of course, that if you're more unhappy than you are happy with the person, then that person might not be for you. If majority of the times you're with that person, you're unhappy more than you're happy, then I don't think it's worth it, because obviously you must not be in love with each other, or that person just might not be for you.
Okay, very interesting. That is a good point. And you're telling me we're just about ready to go into tonight's story. Let's go to 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us, Jack. What are some telltale signs, in your opinion, Jack, that a person may not be the right person for someone?
How do you know? Let me make sure I can hear you. Did you say how you know when you have the right person for you?
Well, when there's some telltale signs that this might not be the right man or woman to get married to.
I like what Phil said. I like what Angela said as well. I like the part what Angela said about she knows that she's still in love with her husband, and even though they have their ups and downs, because when he touches her, even when she's upset with him, she can feel that emotion, and she can feel that love, which I think is paramount for a relationship, to let you know whether you're still in love with that person. You could have been married for many, many years. But if they touch you and you still feel that love or that jitter that, you know, you had when you guys were dating and so forth. And I like what Rose said, too. I like what Rose said, too, about the two of you coming together and if you're unhappy more so than you are happy, then that's a telltale sign right there to let you know that maybe that's not the person with you. Now, a lot of times, you know, and I'm not trying to knock women, but a lot of times they go through emotional states, especially in their older age, you know, when they get with those, the problems that the women usually have when they're older, you know, menopause and all of that. So that kind of like affects their emotions and all that, and they seem like they're saddened all the time rather than being happy. So they may need to get some type of shots or hormones to help them with their hormones and all, because a lot of that happens when they get older. They get upset easily, and it seems like they dwell on a lot of things. So we have to do what we can if we're going to salvage a relationship.
I agree with that.
Okay, so you think that, right, let me just go back, Jack, just for a second. Angel will bring you back in, and Rose as well. But, Jack, you think that sometimes because they're going through the emotions, sometimes it can be unfair to the man, even when they're going through menopause? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Right, exactly what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're saying that they need to probably get some type of hormone therapy for dealing with it. Is that what you're thinking?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And Angela, you said that you agree with that. We're going to go to Rose in just a second and ask for her opinion on that, and then we're going to go to tonight's topic.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Walker, I do agree with that because I'm going through menopause, early menopause myself. I find talking to my husband about my emotions and what I'm going through, he helps get me through what I'm going through. He talks me through it. He tells me that's how your body's supposed to feel. These are the symptoms you're supposed to have. So, yes, I agree 100% with what Jack was saying. But what I wanted to reiterate on was a lot of people get confused with being mad about simple stuff.
Yeah.
And that affects their relationship. But if you don't let the simple stuff affect how you feel about that person, that's a different story. Because, like I said, we've had our ups and downs. I've had infidelity in the beginning of my marriage. We've left each other. We've separated from each other, and we always ended back up because I like being around my husband. I like talking to him. I like, you know what, I'm going to say I love, because I don't want it to seem superficial just because I'm saying I like. I love everything he does. When we are sitting there just having little chuckles, then he may irritate me, but I still love him. I can't say I hate him because I don't. Now,
right.
I hate some of the
okay.
things that he does.
Right.
It gets on my nerve when he can't fix certain things, but then when I said I work on myself, and maybe it takes me to do things and show him how to get through it and work through it. We don't have patience like men do. We want everything to be easy, hurry up and get through certain things. And I had to learn the hard way. It doesn't work that way. You work through things, you know, and you talk about them.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. That is very interesting. Rose, let's go to you real quick and get your thoughts on that in terms of, you know, and I'm not asking you to speak to this issue about the patience, whether men or women have more patience. But that's surprising to me, Angela, what you're saying, that men tend to have more patience. And then I just think it depends on the individual. But, Rose, let's go back and visit something earlier that we talked about. Yeah, with the hormones issues. Give me your thoughts on that.
I think that's kind of tricky, in my opinion. I think it's very important, of course, for the females going through that issue to talk to their husbands about it. I think there are times when husbands just don't understand, and they think that the female should just be able to, you know, turn off or turn on whatever it is that's going on with them at that time, but I don't think it's that easy. Now, I believe that it's fair for the female to get some kind of help because, you know, whatever it is that she goes through at that time, she might not be able to help herself. So I think getting help, maybe counseling, and if she can find any herbal substances that can help her, I think that will be good. However, I don't too much agree with the hormone therapy, taking hormones, because I think that could lead also to other issues like cancer. And I don't think that it's really fair for a woman to then put her life in jeopardy only because, you know, the man might not be able to deal with her menopausal issues. So I think they both have to work together and see what's best for each of them and for the marriage itself. But, you know, you have to take into consideration that some of these things cause cancer, and you don't want, you know, for the husband, he wouldn't want his wife to develop cancer on it, you know, because he can't seem to deal with the menopausal issues. But seek counseling and research. See what kind of herbal substances are out there that can help her to deal with these issues.
That's an interesting perspective, Rose, and I would just say that, you know, he wouldn't want his wife to develop it unless he's trying to, of course, get rid of her. But, you know, I'm just joking on the side, y'all. Let's bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake. She did tell us that she was going to be running a few minutes late to join us on studio. This is the author, Falling in Love with Me. Ms. Audrey Blake, welcome to the show this evening.
Great. I just got off the road, Dr. Walker, and I was listening to the show. Very interesting comments coming in. I'd like to weigh in on your question about some signs that someone may not be. I can tell you how to tell if they're not right.
Okay.
I probably do a better job than that in telling you who's right.
Great.
This is my humble opinion. Some signs that this person may not be the right person for you is they're not attentive to your needs. They're very self-absorbed. And basically, if you find yourself always giving of yourself and your time to make them happy, which you should do, and you're not seeing them take the equal interest, and not 50% necessarily, but you know, a like-minded interest in you, if it's always what can they get and what you can give them, then that's a pretty good sign that this person is not ready for marriage and not the right person for you. Dr. Walker, are you hearing me?
Yes, we are. Ms. Blake, that was an interesting perspective. Sorry about that technical difficulty. We're going to get ready now to go right to tonight's story. And it deals with, is marriage really just about the wedding, part one? All right, here are the characters, Edie and Frank. Edie and Frank, they were both 26 when they got married, just after completing their master's degrees at university. Leading up to the wedding ceremony, Edie was so excited that her day was coming, the very day that she had thought about from the time she was a little girl, the day of her wedding. Throughout the planning stages, she collected her girlfriends, select members of her family, and just made it a girly thing. It was seldom that she even asked Frank his opinion on anything to do with the wedding. This very issue caused Frank to feel like his marriage would only be as good as the wedding day, and there is nothing after that to get excited about because of Edie's attitude of leaving him out, so he felt. They have now been married for 5 years and have 2 young children, ages 2 and 4, but it has not been a very happy marriage. Because Frank now feels that his suspicions were true. The wedding was really the most important thing he feels to Edie, and having her children seemed to complete her childhood dream. Frank now feels alienated from his wife because she has what she has always wanted, and that is the ambience of a marriage, the husband, the children, the job, the house, the car, the bank account, family, friends, and, of course, her social life. Frank feels alone and unhappy despite his efforts to connect to his family, to his wife, who has been the love of his life, but she does not reciprocate the same feelings, citing she is extremely busy with work and the children. Frank is involved in assisting her with the children, as well as he does a lot of the work around the house, and he works just as hard as she does. In fact, he works harder. He is now considering a divorce because he has not truly been happy since the wedding day when he last saw Edie at her best. He didn't even feel like they had a real honeymoon. The question that we start out with tonight, Ms. Blake, and I'm going to throw that one at you. Could Frank be overreacting? What do you think? Ms. Blake? All right, Angela. Angela, could Frank be overreacting? All right, Angela. All right, let's try Ms. Blake again. Ms. Blake, could Frank be overreacting?
I don't think he is. I think he has valid reasons to be concerned. So he's not overreacting.
Okay, all right. All right, so tell me, elaborate a little bit on that, and then we're going to go to some of your phones, or if you're doing something in the background, we do pick up every sound that comes in, and we may have to mute you if you're trying to get into us, because just through your picks up every sound in the background. Okay, that's okay. All right, let me go. Ms. Blake, I want you to elaborate on that a little bit, that he's not overreacting.
He's not overreacting because, you know, a man has feelings just like a woman does, and even though women, we have intuition, but people know what they feel. And you know when you feel, you're feeling the love and the genuine concern. And it's very obvious that he's not feeling that. And he could be very accurate about the fact that she was just wanting to have the actual ceremony and to have all the right stuff that society expects a woman to have at a certain age, but maybe didn't have a genuine love for him, and he's feeling the absence of that.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting point. And I tend to agree with that. I think that his feelings are equally important. And if he's feeling alienated, and of course, I'm pretty sure that therapy has been an option, and obviously it may not have worked. Let's go to Angela and ask Angela. Let's bring her back in. Then we're going to go to Jack. Angela, let's see what your thoughts are. Do you think that here Frank is overreacting?
Do I think he's over what?
Reacting.
No, I don't think he's overreacting because, like myself, I have not always thought of my husband being someone emotional. So, I mean, men can be emotional just like we are, but they don't show it. So we misinterpret that. And a lot of times I'm like cold when I see my husband having emotions. Like, I can't believe that he's going through what he's going through. And then he'd be like, why are you so cold to me? I just told you how I felt about whatever it is. And I'm like, because I'm just not used to seeing a man get that emotional about stuff. I'm just used to women having emotions.
Okay. All right.
But
let's bring
learning.
In Jack. Okay. And I think that's what it all is. It's a journey for all of us. Jack, let's bring you in. Let's take another question here. And that question is in terms of Frank. Do you know, in your opinion, what would you tell Frank, you know, for him feeling like he's feeling alienated? What would you tell him, if anything?
Well, I would tell him basically that he needs to sit down and have a one-on-one with her because he has legitimate feelings because those are his feelings. So he needs to sit her down and talk with her, let her know straight up, this is how I feel, and give her an example. Let her know exactly what she's doing to make him feel that way. And then see if there's something that they can do together to rectify the situation. It might even mean that they have to get counseling, because she may not even be aware that he's feeling alienated and that she's doing the things that she wants to do, and she was there for the marriage. It was a glory situation for her to go through the marriage and have all that, but she hasn't shown all the affection towards her husband. And then she didn't even consider him when it came to making decisions a lot with dealing with the marriage and all. So I think what he needs to do is have a one-on-one. And I think he's like 5 years too late on this coming at her with sitting down, letting her know how he feels. I think he should have done that even during the wedding ceremony. We're going to do this together. It's not a one-sided situation here. We're in this together. But you're never, never too late. So I think at this point he should sit down and have a one-on-one, even if it means having counseling.
All right, I think that that's a very interesting perspective. Let's go and get Rosa's perspective on one of the other questions that we're asking about. Do you think Edie is being selfish, Rose, in alienating her husband by not showing the reciprocation of her feelings?
You know, I'm thinking that maybe she's not even aware. And I like that Jack said maybe Frank needs to sit down and speak to her, because I'm wondering if she's even aware of how he's feeling. Now, maybe she just have not taken the time to learn his love language. And so she might be thinking that she's doing all the right things. She might be thinking, you know, she's taking care of the kids, she's working, and she's just thinking, she could be thinking that this is how marriage is, you know. You just get busy in doing all that you need to do. Maybe she just don't even realize that he is lacking. Now, unless he speak with her and let her know exactly what he's feeling, that's the only way I could see this working out. And, of course, as Jack said, they might need counseling, you know. So I think that's where they need to start. Sit down, talk about it, and then follow steps in order to correct what is wrong.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective, but I can tell you, Rose, I'm almost certain, you know, I got to bring off the gloves, because I'm almost certain he's already had a one-on-one with her. They probably have done even some talks about some counseling. And, I mean, I'm sure that he's told her about his feelings. But, you know, the question becomes, you wonder if the woman is even paying any attention to him. I mean, he's feeling alienated. And I'm sure hanging around for 5 years, I mean, I don't know Frank personally, but someone with that character, I mean, if he's been hanging in there and he's hanging in there for the kids, you know, I'm sure he's had these discussions with her. And I'm venturing, and maybe this sounds kind of like chauvinistic, and I'm not trying to put that out there like that, but chances are, I mean, he's just not getting the attention that he needs. You know, so we'll give you a chance to rebuttal on that. But let me go to another phone line real quick. 407, I know Ms. Blake is ready to pull off the gloves and come on with it, and I'm ready. 407-202. Who do we have on the air this evening, and welcome?
Hey, Dr. Walker, Ms. Blake. You got Jay from Orlando. How's everybody?
Doing great.
Doing great, Jay. Thank you for joining us tonight. Jay, we're talking about, is marriage really just about the wedding? And this is only part one. And it's a little heated, Jay. So, I mean, and we got Frank and Edie here, and he's just not feeling it. He's got two children, 2 and 4, and he feels that Edie, if you're just, for those of you all others that are just maybe joining us, he feels that Edie, his wife, whom he's been married to for 5 years, you know, her best time was the wedding. You know, the wedding. What do you think? Do you, you know,
so
have you
Dr.
ever,
Walker,
you know, anyone, Jay, that may have gone through that? Go ahead.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth, where I was about to say he's definitely had these conversations, or would have definitely had to have them over that 5-year period. And they've probably attempted counseling, just like you said. But sometimes I almost feel that people are who they are. you know, with the conversations, and it still hasn't changed with the counseling, and it still hasn't changed. Maybe that woman is just who she is. And I hate to put it like this, but, you know, maybe this bodes for having a second wife because he's not getting what he needs right there. Maybe if he had a second wife, you know, everybody would be happy. She's already not paying him any attention, so I don't know. I'm just adding fuel to the fire. I'd like to hear what Ms. Blake has to say.
All right, Ms. Blake, I'm interested in your response. I'm also interested in your response. Jay from Orlando, he says maybe if he had a second wife, Jay, but let me ask you this before Ms. Blake responds. Jay, I mean, you know how, you know, we're going to have those ladies that are sending in comments. They're going to be wanting to know, is it okay for them to have a second husband? You know, and I feel that already coming.
I know
you were, Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, I'll let you go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Wait. So the second husband, she's not taking care of the first one, so what's she going to do with the second one?
Well, the second one might be more interesting. I'm being funny, of course, to all our listeners.
Okay. So what do you tell them in response to that, other than the second one might be more interesting, Ms. Blake?
That's not an option. Okay, let's just start there. But I certainly respect every caller's opinion, however crazy it may seem. That's my friend, Jay. But, you know, I do agree with something Jay said, and that is the fact that, you know, people will show you who they are. And that really, when a person is shallow, putting a ring on it doesn't make the shallowness disappear.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. Let's go to Rose, and then, Jack, we're going to bring you in, and Angela will bring you back in as well. Rose, give us your take on that.
You know, I just thought of something that both Ms. Blake and Jack said, that a person will show you who they are. And I totally agree with that. Now, apparently Frank wasn't paying close attention to Edie when they were dating. Because I agree, a person is going to show you who they are. And who they are, sometimes what happens is that in the initial dating state, you tend to overlook who the person really is, okay? And you want to believe that all you want to see is what's good. And you ignore the warning signs. They're normally there. And when you don't pay attention to that and you go right ahead because this is what you want to do, then later on in the wedding, you know, after the wedding is over and you're married, then all of a sudden it seems like your eyes are open and you see those signs that you thought were never there. But if you think back, way back when, you'll realize that those signs were already there. You just choose to ignore them. So I think that's what happened with Frank here. He just ignored the signs that Edith was setting out when she was being herself. And that's what happened.
All right, interesting perspective. Go ahead, Ms. Blake. We'll bring Jack in. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Just very quickly, and to expand on what Rose said, you know, during the wedding planning, it was so evident. She wasn't really concerned about anything. It was all about her then. So why should it be any different? You know, the signs were glaring.
And that's a very interesting point from both of you all that you're bringing in. Jack, let's bring you in. What are your thoughts, Jack?
Well, I'm hoping that he is not handpicked. You know, he didn't say much during the marriage, and she was talking a lot to her friends and all. So I'm hoping he's not handpicked. And that is true. People tend to really show you who they are. You don't really know a person until you stay with them. They may show you a different side, you know, while you're dating or courting or whatever. But once you get married then and live with the person, it's totally a different ballgame. That they are what they are basically under pressure, and you find that out to be true all the time. As far as the second wife, that's what they did back in the day in the biblical times. They had more than one wife. I guess when one didn't act right, I guess they grabbed another one or whatever. And Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I know that's ridiculous, but that's what he had.
Wow, that's
so Jack,
interesting.
I just got to throw some humor in here, Dr. Walker. So why didn't he have more than one husband? Because I don't understand that. But anyway, that's just food for thought.
Oh, did you ask me that?
And what happened? Oh, wait a minute. This is
I'm being a little
facetious. Question here.
Go ahead, Ms. Glade.
Oh, I'm done. That's it. That was just my little comment.
Well, I'm hearing more than one wife here, you know, like husbands. I think husbands, a lot of husbands, you know, get all lighted up when they hear, oh, we should have more than one wife. Do you know the problems you would have? If you think you have problems with one, think about the headaches, heartaches, and all the issues you would have if you had several wives, okay? That's just the trouble.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. Jay, we can let you respond to that. You know, and I caution all the married guys out there as you're responding. I trust that your wives are not listening. You know, I'd like to give my opinion, but I just don't want to make sure that my wife is not listening. But anyway, Rosie, did you say something?
You know, I'm going to pass on that. Yes, my wife is listening to the show, so I'm going to pass on responding to that second wife. I was only kidding there in all seriousness. However, you know, it's 5 years into the marriage at this point. They have children, so it's not a situation where a person can easily walk away. I don't believe that his wife is going to change much because I believe that people are who they are. You know, they may change for a time period, but they always revert back, at least in my experience. And I know that my experience is not indicative of everyone's experience, but that's just my opinion. So what does he do from this point forward? Because she's not changing. I know these conversations have taken place. Where do we go from here?
And I think that that's very interesting. Let's go do the round table here. Ms. Blake, where would you suggest Frank go from here? We're getting some background noise. Ms. Blake, let's go to you first and find out.
Okay, sure.
Where should he go from here?
Well, given the fact that we have made some assumptions that they've already tried counseling and he's expressed his feelings to her, she's aware and doesn't seem to really be changing, you know, I think he needs to take a long, hard look at what he wants to do. Is this right for him? I'm not a quitter to say jump out of the first sign of trouble. Definitely not. But at the same time, if this is who she is and she really never, maybe she never loved him in the first place, and he has to find that out from her. I like what Jack said about having the conversation.
Okay, I think that that's great. We're going to momentarily take some comments that have come into the studio as well. Let's take one. Let's do one of them now. And let me go with this comment that is coming from this female. She says, in reference to tonight's broadcast, I want to say, that's hard to read. It came out kind of fuzzy. Let me go to another one there. All right, here's another one that come in. This female writes in. She says, I think women do make it about them during the wedding ceremony, especially during a wedding day. After that, it just becomes routine. It just becomes routine. So that's kind of deep. Angie, what is she trying to say here? You know, after the wedding day, everything else is just routine.
Dr. Walker, I can't even answer that one because I never had a wedding. I just went to the courthouse and did it old-fashioned way. And it wasn't routine for me because I got married when I was 23, and we just was spontaneous with everything during that time.
Okay. And I think what she's saying here is that after the wedding, you know, you plan for the wedding, that's the culminating event, and that's the excitement. And then after the wedding, I mean, that's kind of settling into the marriage. But it doesn't sound like it's a good way of settling into the marriage. Jack, give me your thoughts on that. I mean, everything else after the wedding day, after that ceremony, is this routine. What do you think she's trying to say here?
Well, I hope it's not routine after that. It sounds like to me that she's saying that she just wants to take everything else for granted, take him for granted, and it was just the excitement of getting married. But now that you're married, you know, you can just do whatever you want to do. You don't even have to work at it. But I've always said this. The courtship basically continue in the marriage. You don't stop the things that you did to get her once you get married. And the same thing with the woman as well. because once you start taking each other for granted, that's when third parties come into the play or fourth parties come into the play. So I hope it's not just routine after the wedding. The build up, the excitement was there. They got together and they said, well, we're going to have this magnificent wedding. And then all of a sudden, reality settles in after that, and then you just go through the routine. And you're not doing those extra niceties, rendering due benevolence one to another. So I think that's a no-no. Those are telltale signs right there. So, and red flags go up when those things start happening as well.
That's an interesting. Jay, let me bring you in to chime in on that. By asking you, I mean, the routine. This sounds very serious because I think that Jack made an interesting point about, you know, when you say it like that, it could be that one spouse becomes, you know, where it's being taken for granted. And that is never a good thing. You know, because Edie has said in the story that she's busy. You know, when he's had this talk with her, she's saying she's busy taking care of the children. She's busy with her job. But yet, at the same time, Frank is spending just as much time helping out with the kids as she is, and he's working just as hard as she is. So, I mean, in this comment, this young lady is saying, writes in, and she says, you know, after the wedding, it's just routine.
Well, you know, I wonder if many individuals have this fairy tale vision of what marriage is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
For much of the wedding and the wedding planning, that is a fairy tale. However, what takes place after you go to work and you have bills and you have to raise these kids and you have a job as well and all of these exterior stressors are involved in your life, you know, it kind of weighs on the person. And I know that, is it Frank or Frankie? I know that Freddie, I know that he's probably capable of handling a lot of things at once, but maybe she just isn't. Maybe she's just overwhelmed, and I don't know how to fix that for him.
Right, right. I can certainly understand that. And it's Frank. Yeah, Frank is, you know, he seems like he's tried different things. And Ms. Blake, let me bring you in because, I mean, you know, in some cases, even after therapy and, I mean, now they're both young. I mean, it's 5 years later. They were 26 when they both married, now 31. You know, is there ever a time when maybe marriage is not the answer for that particular couple, in spite of the fact that they have children? Ms. Blake, what are your thoughts? And then, Jake, we'll get your perspective.
Yes, they are, but I'm not pushing that one tonight. I think that this is not that major an issue that needs to separate them. I really like what Jack said earlier about him sitting down and expressing his feelings to her. And then her needing to respond and them to talk about it. Because, again, I think it was Ms. Dupree when I was driving, listening in, that said, you know, it can work if you work hard. You both want to work hard enough at it. So hope I'm not misquoting you. But, you know, so it's still hope. It doesn't have to lead straight to the divorce court.
Okay, and that is really good. But, you know, I mean, and Jack, I do appreciate your comments on that as well, and all of you, all your opinions that we're bringing tonight. But at what point is enough enough? I mean, if you're talking these things for 5 years, I believe you could be talking them for 10 years, for 15 years, and for 20 years. And at some point, I mean, could Frank just be fooling himself? Jack, give me your thoughts on that, and then we'll take another we're going to go to another comment.
That's an interesting perspective that you just said there. I mean, you said the same thing that's happening now after 5 years, maybe it may happen again after 10 years. But we're praying that that's not the case. I mean, once he's sat down, and like you all said before, that he may have done that, but maybe he wasn't serious. Maybe he didn't offer any suggestions on what they could do as far as getting counseling and all of that, because he's serious about his feelings for her. And I think someone said something about, you know, the love language. She needed to make sure that she understood his love language and all. And sometimes you have to tell people. I remember talking to a guy one time, and he said that you have to tell them exactly what you want in the marriage. Sometimes they may not even know. They may be ignorant to the fact. And so you could tell that this is what's going to make me happy. This is what's going to make me feel better. So I'd like for you to do this. Now, if they're not trying to put any effort into it at all, you're giving it your 100%, and they're giving it only 50%. It's not going to work. And I've always said this coming on your show, that both parties are to give 100%, not 50-50, it's 100-100, because I'm going all out, and I expect you to do the same at all. You know, it's not a fairy tale marriage or whatever. You want it to work. You want it to work. And if it's not going to work, then at some point in time, like you guys always say, you may have to give them the gift of goodbye. But not in this case here. They have a chance to, I think, to rectify the marriage. They have a chance to do some other things to try to make sure that they're both on the same page. And I think right now they're not on the same page.
All right,
you
know, that's an go ahead, Jay, and then we're going to bring in, we're going to go to 321-297. But Jay from Orlando,
Doc,
go ahead.
Doc, I really yes. want to know what happens when her 100% looks like 50% to him. She's giving it her all in her mind, but it looks like 50% to him. What do you do?
Wow. There? That's an interesting perspective. I'm going to give you my thought on that in just a second, but let's first go. Ms. Blake, let's get your take on that, and then I'm going to give you my my thought on it. When Frank, in this case, might feel like her 50% is only 50%, but it feels like 100% to her.
I think it goes to the comment about the love language, about her really understanding how to meet his needs and vice versa. So apparently, you know, there's some pieces of his needs that are not being met. And so, again, communication again, that needs to be identified. What is it that's making him feel like it's only 50%?
That's right.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective. And I think that, Jay from Orlando, I want to put this out there. Sometimes, because all human beings learn differently, you know, you got the different modalities, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. We won't waste time going into that. It may mean that you have to communicate. Part of their language is, let me write this out. Let me send an email, but short. And you almost got to break it down to a level where, not to demean an individual, but break it down to a level where you feel that they may understand, and ask, not at a time when it's when you're upset. Let's just say if a person, a scenario where someone is upset. You want to have a conversation like that when you're probably at the peak of your romance. And not to say that it's going to put a damper on it, but you just want to bring some things in, and you're always looking for the solution by being inclusive. You know, what is it that I could probably be doing? What is it that we need to work on? But starting with yourself, what is it that I need to work on that can make, you know, life better for this marriage? And in Frank's case, maybe that's something Frank hasn't done. We've assumed that. Maybe he can, and I agree with you all, Frank needs to give it more of the effort, because if the grass may look greener on the other side, but sometimes when you water your grass, it can be the best looking lawn on the block. Let's go to Jay from Orlando. We're going to ask you to stand by because the producers are threatening me. They say we've got 7 minutes before this show comes to a close, and this is only part one. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. This show is available in its entirety 20 minutes after the broadcast. Let's go to 321-297. You're live on the Dr.
Hi,
Jesse Walker Show.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Thanks for giving me a chance to speak.
Who do we have on the air with us?
Oh, this is Christelle.
Christelle, thank you for joining us, Christelle. Give us your thoughts, Christelle. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Well, I've been listening to the whole show, and there has been some great points made. One little thing that I have issue with is that everybody knows that when it comes to children, it's not 50-50 as far as who does all the work. It's the women, okay? Working or not, the woman is really in charge of that in the house, or expected, let's say expected, to take care of those things, you know. And I know your story saying that, you know, he pitches in 50%, she pitches in 50%, but I rarely see that in
okay.
anybody, you know, marriage relationship. But anyways, but I do think that as far as their issues. I think if people truly love each other, that they can get through anything, really. But they both have to really want to. So if it's the wife that does not want to, she doesn't care. I'm not sure what her side of the story is. I don't know if all her needs are being met. If she doesn't want to, then that's a whole different, you know, scenario. But if both of them really do want to make the marriage work, want to have like a fun marriage, a happy marriage, I think there are steps that they can take. They can go to counseling and they can do action steps to towards that, you know, date nights or whatever. Maybe, you know, instead of sulking in the corner, maybe he can, you know, say, hey, I'm going to get a babysitter. We're going to go out tonight, you know. Don't worry about doing dishes. I have somebody coming over to help. We're going to go out. We're going to do something fun. You know, starting with little things like that. But I do think that if both people are really in the marriage and want the marriage to work and they both express that, are action steps and things that they can do to try to build a better relationship. So that's my little
thing. Christelle, I thank you for that. And I think that that is absolutely beautiful. That's a beautiful contribution. And I like what you put here in terms of the action steps. You know, perhaps, you know, the significant other can come in and say, well, don't worry about the dishes tonight. I have someone come in and do those. Let's have a date night. And I like what you present and about make a fun marriage. And I agree that if a couple, and I think everybody has said that tonight, if you really want, if the love is there, I think that you can make it work. If you really want to make it work, you got to go outside the comfort zone to find ways to make it work. Something that I want to, that I may have certain reservations on, and maybe not being a woman, I don't maybe understand as well, but I think that there are men who are just as involved with their children as that mother may be. And let me just get another perspective. Christelle, we're going to ask you to stand by. They are threatening me over here. Let's go to Rose real quick and see what her two cents is on it.
Oh, my two cents, Dr. Walker. I agree with you that there are men or fathers who are even more involved with the children than even the mothers are, and I totally agree with that. But that's the exception. Okay, I have to agree with Christelle, that when it comes to the household chores and the kids, the mothers are who have the burden of almost everything. Yes, I think fathers, a lot of times husbands help out, but the thing that I've always said is the husbands help out when they choose to. It's really on the mom or the wife. The wife cannot come home and say, you know what, I don't feel like doing this. I'm just not going to do it. Whereas the husband has that choice. But when he feels like it, you know, he'll pitch in and he will do a great job. But what about when the mom don't feel like it? It has to be. You know, we have to think about that. So I think the burden is really on the wife when it comes to the kids and the household chores.
That's an interesting perspective. Jay, we're going to give you an opportunity to comment. Miss Blake, we're going to bring you in. Jack, Angela, we'll bring you in as well. Let's go with Jay from Orlando.
Well, I don't like all of this male bashing. Who said, first of all, that life was fair? It's already predetermined that if you're a woman, hey, the kids are your responsibility, and men do get the option to help out when they so seem fit. But I hope you didn't believe any of that I just said. I was only kidding.
Well, you know what? Jay from Orlando, it sounds like you're putting it out there and you want the jury to strike it from the record when these women are about to take off the gloves. But, Jack, let's see if you can rescue them and give us your thoughts on that.
But you know what? There's some truth to every joke. That's all I'm saying about that.
Okay. All right. Christelle,
I knew of this guy, you know, he raised his kids from a young age. I think he had three or four, and he did an exceptional job. I mean, I just commended this guy for what he did. So, like, I think Rose said it, it's the exception. That was the exception rather than the rule. So you do have that. I think for the most part that we do know that responsibility basically lies on the woman. I mean, that's just her role, and that's how it is from the Bible. perspective that the woman is to be, you know, in charge basically of the house, and the man is to work by the sweat of the brow. So we know that. So that's not something foreign. But in, nowadays, you know, you have house fathers or whatever you call them. They're there, and the woman goes out to work. So, you know, whatever works for that particular family, if that's what they want, then so be it and all. But I don't want the male bashing, because we do have a lot of men that, you know, take on that responsibility of raising the children and being there for the children a lot, just as much as the mother, or even more so.
Okay, Jack, that's an interesting story. Angela, we're going to give you just about 15 seconds, if you would, and then we're going to go to Ms. Blake, and we've got to bring the show to a close.
Well, what I'm going to say is that's exactly why I told my husband we can have a second wife in the house so she can pick up the slack where I leave off at. When he's not doing what I need him to do, then he gets to go to her side that night.
Just to free you, the real MVP.
All right, happy
Saturday. Angela, that is. Angela, we're going to stay with that one. Yeah. We're going to bring this back. We'll bring more of this in part two. Ms. Blake, kind of take us home, and then I'm going to give you all some upcoming shows before we close out tonight.
Well, the bottom line here is truly communication and the warning signs that we talked about even at the top of the show. People, pay attention out there. It's very obvious that you always see a glimpse of who that person really is 100% of the time. People may do a pretty good job at fronting and covering up, but there are always little things that seep through. So just with much prayer as you go into any marriage or relationship,
yeah,
and pay
right.
attention. Those are my closing remarks, Dr. Walker.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. Listen, you all, we got some upcoming shows that are coming, so you don't want to miss this. Always stay tuned. Look out for your show announcements that will be coming. You can visit drjessewalker.com and see whatever show is coming up in the very near future. Do men and women have similar feelings? That's one show that's coming up. And, of course, we're going to do a part two to this particular show. Another show that we're going to do is, do women really ever listen to their man? That'll be interesting. Then the counter to that, do men ever really listen to their woman?
No.
And then we're going to talk about a manual for marriage. There is, and then another show that's also coming up is there a model for marriage? Is there a marriage model? So those are some upcoming shows. I'm going to ask you all to stay tuned for those shows that are coming up. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us live again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.